Hi, this is Brian of the 2022 Mega Bowl Champion Skybusters, and you are listening to the Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix with Josh and Gar.
It is Tuesday, November 7th, 2023. This is podcast number 163. Thank you so much for joining us. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix podcast. I am one of the lovely hosts, the Garlic Johnson. We are joined, as always, by our other lovely hostess, the Josh Mitchell. Josh, say hi to the folks out there.
Hi, folks.
We act, and for the record, there are actually plural folks here today. I'm not sure why we got so blessed, but we have two live listeners for the first time, and certainly for the first time this season. Would have been had to going back to maybe last year, but shout out to them. We appreciate those two people for listening live in the Discord and for chatting along in the Discord. I have the most recent chat up here. I always have Discord open during the pod because we're broadcasting on Discord, and I can see both Al and Walters are very recent in the chat just today. We appreciate them so much. Segment start times will be down in the description below, and thank you at Levi Oki Illustration for all the beautiful art. Josh, ha, yeah, Darren.
Hi, Darren. How Gar doing?
You know, not bad. Not bad, but I'm gonna talk more actually in a bit. I'm gonna substitute my fire in my gut for something different that I went through yesterday. But how did you feel about the football weekend? Obviously, it's only been a couple days, but the Packers, I believe, did they get another dub?
Sure did. Absolutely embarrassed the other team and themselves in the process, but they got a win.
Nice, nice.
It's an embarrassment to lose to them at this point, and the Packers are embarrassing.
Happens to the best of us. What about anything else? You do anything fun on Sunday? You seemed pretty active in the chat. I'm not sure if you went to church or if you were sick or something. Anything exciting between Saturday and today?
I mean, I went to church. I kind of relaxed, watched football, did some things around the house. But yeah, that's really about it. I guess, was I active in the chat? What did I say?
I don't remember. Maybe I'm just fooling myself. But it was the 8:30 game. I assumed you would have been gone. I thought you had said something about the Chiefs-Dolphins game, but maybe I'm just lying to myself.
Oh, yeah, I said Mike McDaniel with a capital L.
I was at the end of the game. I thought you said it doesn't matter. But yeah, that was a good morning for me. Got some Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah, I said he's turning into sugar-free peanut brittle instead of the gummy clusters because of how they were playing.
You got some fucking nerve, dude. But no, Sunday was good. Enjoyed the Germany game. I thought that was fun. For those who aren't familiar with the German language, I thought it was interesting that their national anthem, whoever was singing it, of course they're singing it so it sounds better, but anyone who knows German, it is a very harsh language, and whoever was singing the national anthem, that was the most beautiful I've ever heard German words pronounced. So that was just a fun little small moment for me.
They probably were doing it in a different language other than German, something that they probably invaded and stole.
I mean, as far as I know, they conceded all the land back that they or forfeited all the land back that they occupied during the war. Anyways, this, I don't know how we got into World War II Germany all of a sudden, but it sounded beautiful to me, their national anthem. Are we ready to get into it, Josh? You ready to move on?
Yeah. Do you want to just do a grain of salt first and then?
Sure. Yeah, we can jump to the weekly recap. Why not, Josh? How'd we do this last week in fantasy? Why should people listen to you? Al was questioning your credentials in the chat just earlier today.
How about you go first while I continue doing math?
Okay. I went 6-4 this week, straight up, Josh, in all my head-to-head records. It's tied. It's my fifth time I've gone 6-4 this year. I've never had an even or a losing record, so I guess you could say 6-4 is my worst fantasy season, or my worst fantasy week, tied with all the other ones. But so that makes me 63-27 on the year. That is exactly 70% win percentage, so doing pretty good. And I know not anyone else can see this except for me and Josh if he wants to, but all my W's are in my top six leagues. So we love to see the green and the W's up top where I'm winning my most money. So we love that win distribution at the top versus at the bottom. We love winning those most expensive leagues. Remain alive in both guillotine leagues. Had my first near-death experience in JWoww's guillotine league. Was second to bottom. Assisted by none other than Gabe Davis putting up a literal goose egg. That was brutal. But we remain alive and vigilant. Overall, this was my worst fantasy week of the season, using the intellectual property of Joshua Allen Bunker Incorporated. It's close. Like week four was statistically very close, but here in week nine, I went 58-44, so that was only winning 56.9% of my matchups if I were to play every team in every league. And so, you know, we were scraping by. Still above 500, but my worst week statistically by far. Overall in the season, I am 646-345. That's a win. That's a batting average of 652. We'll put it like that. Batting 652 on the year. So pretty good. Two leagues we're pretty dominant in. One league I'm really bad in. The rest were above 500. So we'll take some dubs, Josh. I might not always pick everyone correctly on the start sit on Saturday mornings, but overall I'm performing very well in fantasy this year. But unfortunately, some of my teams are just falling to the attrition of the year. I mean, you know, players get banged up. I have some JJ shares. I had plenty of Kirk shares. And obviously now Kirk's out for the season, so I had to scramble to find a new quarterback. I had also plenty of Lions shares this week. Lions run a bye, as well as the Niners had plenty of Niner player shares. So it was a tough week. Nine was tough by bye weeks and by, you know, just the attrition of the season. I've tried to give you as much time as I can, Josh. Is that enough time for you to give your grain of salt?
Yeah, I'll do my grains. So this week I went 7-2. You probably wouldn't have guessed that based on my reaction to the game last night when we were in the old Xbox chat. But 7-2, my one loss my two losses came in the redraft, Victoria's Secret and Hidden Oaks. Played Al in Victoria's Secret. His team is kind of a buzzsaw, so saw that one coming. Plus, my team is just it was literally just scraping by the skin of its teeth most weeks. And then in the redraft league, I'd lost one to Garrett there, but I beat the medians. So I'm still kind of hanging on to that playoff spot as we get, well over halfway through. I did beat Walters in the Champions League, despite having three of my top players on bye. And so I want to say thank you, Noah Brown, for your three projected points turning into a solid 25-er.
Ladies.
And so, yep, Walters, it's just, you know, you got to be better. That's really the name of the game, is be better than what you currently are. Won in all the dynasty leagues. Lone team at 8-1 and deflated balls league. So, ladies. Overall, through the intellectual property of Joshua Allen Bunker Incorporated this week, I went 49-17. And so, yeah, wow. I just did that number, and I was like, where'd that number come from? That's a 74.24% win. Overall, I am sitting at 296 out of 199 with a 59.8% win share. So, yeah, it's cool.
All right, all right. We appreciate you sharing. Josh, how'd people do on the FanDuel this week?
People did things. TW Cody finished in the top with 139.4. Big Tush finished with 139.2, so just a little behind. And then Garbanzo's Beans finished with 125.24. Kind of a lower scoring week. Overall, the top two in the leaderboard did not change. Derek's still on top with 662.8, and Levi Oki is in second with 632.05. And then we've got a new third placer, which is Garlic with 16.7. You gained 10 point dishes on yours. There's like four people sitting behind you at like 619. So it's a kind of a close race. But yeah, so that's the FanDuel. Congrats to those that started CJ Stroud, or I was going to say the Chargers defense, but they didn't play with the Colts defense, or, you know, something along those lines. Yeah. Gar, are we going to do Forky? I think we're going to do Forky. I've got some Forkies.
We can definitely do Forky. Are you ready to do Forky?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let me denote this time here. All right, Josh. looks like you got three, or do you just got the first two?
I just got the first two, and I think I got the Sounders right.
Okay.
As far as what the which sound is, because they're all kind of always in the same order.
Correct.
And so, Forky, what does Zach Wilson say to himself every morning in the mirror?
Why is it taking... I'm sorry. I don't know why it's taking so long.
I'm trash.
There we go.
Okay, I'm going to repeat that for the fans.
Yep.
Forky, what does Zach Wilson say to himself every morning in the mirror?
I'm trash.
Forky, what do opposing coaches say when they see Arthur Smith's game plan?
Trash?
Forky, what is... I don't know. I got nothing. I got nothing, Josh. I'm sorry. I wasn't ready.
Forky, what did you tell Garlic after he came up with that amazing question for you?
You're just like me. Trash!
Bingo. All right. Was that planned? Was that not? The world may never know. Thank you for listening this week, Forky. All right, Josh, would you... I don't know what you planned on doing next. I know what I'm going to do next, because the reason I'm a little discombobulated is because we're doing a couple different things this week, but I wanted to take a moment. It's going to be arbitrary to everyone else but me. No one else is going to give a shit but me, but this is half my platform, and so I get to say and do whatever I want. I'm going to take a quick moment to shout out a lady that no one here will know, but her name is Sharon Westerland. That is my dad's sister. She unfortunately passed not last week, but 2 weeks ago now on Thursday, October 26th. I don't know if that was 2 weeks ago. I think that's 2 weeks ago.
That sounds about right, because it was right before Asher's birthday.
Yeah, right before Asher's birthday, before Jesse's wedding. But her funeral was just yesterday, so we had the funeral and then we buried her. But the reason I am bringing her up is because I don't know, you know, this is the Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix podcast, and I don't know, I don't know if I'd be in Hidden Oaks if it wasn't for this lady. So just to give the brief backstory, the whole reason I'm bringing her up is so my aunt and my uncle owned Gale's Auto Body, which anyone familiar with 65 in Hidden Oaks, Gale's Auto Body. Now I think it's Collision Classic or Classic Collision, something like that. But Gale's Auto Body wasn't, you know, an auto body that was just here on 65 and 109th for years and years. And Gale was my uncle and he opened it. He unfortunately passed in 05. But my Uncle Gale had also bought a bunch of plots of land behind the body shop, Josh. He owned at least four lots within Hidden Oaks, maybe more. No one's for sure on the number because he passed quite some time ago. But he owned the plot of land that my dad ended up buying and building on. So, you know, I'm in Hidden Oaks because of Gale and Sharon. He also owned the plot of land that Sharon Mostelski built her house on. And so, you know, of course, maybe Sharon was the only buyer, but they happened to sell to Sharon. I don't know if they picked Sharon or if Sharon was just the only one looking at the time. But who knows if Sharon would have brought us all together in Hidden Oaks? Who knows if my dad would have lived in a neighborhood anywhere near here or not if it wasn't for Gale and Sharon? So Hidden Oaks might not have ever happened, at least in the way we understand it today, if it weren't for Sharon R. Westerland. So shout out to my beautiful aunt who has unfortunately passed. And like I said, I know no one else cares, and that's fine. But, you know, it's a little Hidden Oaks tie, and so we got to honor the Hidden Oakers when we can. But that was my bit, Josh, and that was my substitute for talking in the fire in your gut. Do you want to do the fire in your gut? Looks like you have something ready.
No, I'm fine. We can just leave it at that since, yeah. You went into something, you know, commemorating somebody and remembering them. I wouldn't want to go into a long unplanned rant about defensive scoring in leagues.
Are you sure? Because that would be really funny.
Nope. Not going to do it right now.
Okay. All right, Josh. We can move on then to our temporary segment, our week-only segment, and we're going to call this, like you titled the spreadsheet, we're going to call this Appeasing Walters. For everyone who knows, we do a big prediction in the preseason. Josh and I predict all 272 of the NFL games that happened in the 17-week season. We predict every single game, 272. And fun fact, it's roughly halfway through the year. We have done exactly, or the NFL has done exactly 136 game. So we are exactly halfway through the 272. So what a fitting week to do it. I don't know if anyone else would have known that with bye weeks and everything else, but we are exactly halfway through the 272. So it's the perfect week to look at it. Josh, I can see you put together some numbers here. I tried at the very last second to add some numbers just on the week-to-week scoring. But go ahead and give the people the update, Josh. How are we doing in the 272? How smart are we? How dumb are we? Again, why do people listen to us? Do we know what we're talking about or not?
Yeah, so the Wham Wham Walters Appeasement podcast segment, I guess I don't know. I didn't look at all the numbers. I just kind of typed them in. I don't even know if they're right. And so going through this, kind of, if you wanted to sort by your own kind of differences, we have, you know, I have, thanks, Al. I'll take that into consideration. I'm going to sort this data by sort by. So looking at this, the team. Oh, no, I'm dumb.
It's fine.
Gar, I need an adult. What did you see when you looked at all this? I hate myself.
Well, I mean, you can always just undo what you just did. But I thought it was interesting, Josh, if we're looking at how we've done in a team-by-team basis and not going week-to-week, you have 10 teams that, according to your numbers here, I didn't verify them, but you have 10 different teams that you have their exact record right so far. So they've either played 8 games or 9 games, depending on if they've had their bye so far. And you've nailed it on 10 teams. I only had 6 teams where I hit the nail on the head on. And then, yeah, we'll just start there, actually. So what do you think it is? You can go through your list and see where you were right on. So games you have zero difference in. What do you think it was about knowing their team, knowing their record, that you would have their exact record right so far 9 weeks into the season?
Well, I think it's just because there are teams that we're very familiar with. Obviously, teams like Atlanta and Indianapolis, Kansas City, the Chargers, Miami, the Saints, Pittsburgh, Seattle, San Fran, and Tennessee. All of those teams are near and dear to our heart. So obviously I'm going to get those 100% right. But no, in all seriousness, there's really no rhyme or reason why I got those right. As far as the 10 that I had gotten, you know, if we went week by week, I could probably be 20% accurate on some of the ones that I'm 100% right on their record right now, just because of how some of the games have gone. Teams that you'd think I'd do a little bit better on in the NFC North, the Green Bay, I had at 5-3 at this point. They're 3-5. So dropping two games that I expected them to win. And I think we can all think of those games, Denver and Atlanta. Then other teams like Minnesota, I'm one game off. The bigger swings, the ones that I'd got the most games wrong on, and I had 5 with 3 or more wrong. And I believe it's exactly 3 on those, nothing more than that. And so it was the Giants and the Jets, both of which we assumed would be good this year. They are not. And then Tampa Bay, we assumed would be bad. They are kind of bad, but not as bad as I thought. And then Washington, we knew they'd be bad, but they're actually not as bad.
There we go. All right. That's interesting. Looking at my performance here, I'm dead on Buffalo. I don't think it was necessarily that controversial, but I had them at 5-4 at this point in the season. They are 5-4. So people who still believe that they were the team that they have been the past couple years and weren't falling off just a bit, they would have thought their record might be, you know, 7-2 or so. I had them at 5-4. That's exactly what they are. So I feel good about calling that one, just a little bit of a decline. I also feel good about Houston. That's a team you were 2 teams off on, and I realize now that I put this column here in a bad spot for you, so I apologize for that. I was doing it haphazardly. But Houston, I think as I was saying in the 272, I said they were the best of the worst, and I think they were going to surprise some people this year. They're 4-4, not crazy, but I had them at exactly 4-4 as well. So I feel good about that one. New Orleans at 5-4. I kind of saw that they wouldn't be a terrible team, but they'd be good. The Jets, I had at exactly 4-4, so I wasn't the quite believer that you were at 7-1 at this point in the season. And then Tampa Bay. I knew they weren't going to be that good. But I only had 6 teams that were 0 wins off. So, okay, never mind. The biggest disappointment for me was obviously Josh, the fucking Giants. Anyone who listens now, I've been singing the praises of the Giants all offseason. I had them at 6-3 at this point, and they are obviously in the real world. Excuse me, in the real
killing
world,
they're,
what, 2-6 or whatever? Only have 2 wins on the year, I believe. So it is tough out here. Josh is doing some sorting things. That's why I had to stutter for a second, because he had changed the order of everything and I couldn't see the numbers. But the biggest disappointment for me by far is the Giants. And you know, they're unlucky in their health and their health situations. Their O-line's been banged up a lot. Saquon's been banged up. Danny Dimes has been banged up, and now he's, I think, out for the year. So the Giants have been very unlucky, but also in the game or two where they had most of their pieces, if not all their pieces, besides the O-line, they have looked piss poor. So that's some egg on my face I just got to eat. But I think that's enough, Josh, unless you have anything else you want to say about your performance or the performance of others.
Nope.
Josh is, no one else can see it, but Josh is continually editing the spreadsheet. I'm not exactly sure what he's doing, but
I'm literally just pushing Control Z and Control Shift Z, just going back and forth on my edits.
Okay. Well, if that's how you want to make a podcast, man, you are more than welcome to do it like that. All right, Josh, we'll move on here. If you guys have any in the chat, we got two listeners right now. If you'd like to hear anyone that we would like to analyze for the buy sell or the hogs at the market, you can let us know below, but we're going to go ahead and get into that right now with this sounder. It's going to take a second. Why is my computer so slow? I need to get a new computer. It's getting bad out here, Josh.
Bacon? You don't put bacon in your body.
Why not?
The worst thing you could put in your body.
I love hogs.
It's fried fat.
I eat everything on the pig except the squeal. Oink.
That is the opening bell, Josh, and we are here to buy or sell some hogs at the market. We look at redraft, we look at dynasty, we're deciding what are we doing. Trade deadlines are coming up. If people want to make moves that aren't that are with other teams that aren't on the waiver wire, we are getting down to it depending on your league settings. I know in the Champs Branch Out League, the trade deadline has passed. And so if your team stinks, it's just going to stink unless you can find a waiver wire gem at this point. Josh, we will start with, it wasn't a Minneapolis miracle, but a miracle for Minnesota that happened down in Atlanta. We're talking about Joshua Dobbs. I believe, depending on your scoring settings, he put up about 29 fantasy points, had two passing touchdowns, a two-point conversion, a rushing touchdown. Joshua Dobbs was electric after having zero practice reps with the offense all week. And when I say all week, the 5 days he was in Minnesota. Didn't even take snaps from Garrett Bradbury until the sideline right before he went into the game. Josh, do we think Joshua Dobbs has any fantasy potential the rest of the year, or is this just one of those fluky things where we're never going to see something like that again?
To me, like, I mean, I did say it's going to be his Baker moment, and it did kind of happen. Granted, he did start off a bit rough. And so as far as overall, I think that at this time, first off, having a buy sell with quarterbacks when you're in a redraft is very silly, just to get that out there. Josh Dobbs at this point is most likely on many waiver wires, but I would say go out and pick him up if you're one of those streamers, because JJ should be back, not this week, it sounds like, but in the next couple of weeks, maybe. But if you have dynasty options and you're looking for some depth, grab him. I think he'd be a safe start every once in a while. Granted, the Cardinals did kick him out of town or send him out of town after declaring he wasn't the starter, so they were fed up with his big brain galaxy aerospace technology.
I heard he owns NASA.
That's kind of what it sounded like, yeah. But yeah, so who knows this? I think that this was more of a fluke going out there, not, you know, he didn't have to think about anything. And so that's something that could help somebody play with a little bit less stress. And so, yeah,
I'm not sure on the answer. Are you saying you would roster him and start him?
I'm just flimsy flamsying all around it.
We need the answer, Josh.
I'd go out and buy him. Yeah.
All right. Joshua Dobbs for fantasy. Dude, the soundboard stinks.
I eat everything on the pig except the squeal.
It literally hasn't done this all year, and the soundboard's just doing a bunch of loading tonight. That's very disappointing. Sorry about that for the listeners, and then I have to sit here and talk about it. Ruins the flow. Josh, we'll move on to a running back not a lot of people know about, but or know exist, but they share a namesake with you. This is running back for the Baltimore Ravens, Mr. Keaton Mitchell. He had only 9 carries on Sunday versus the Seattle Seahawks, but he turned that into 138 yards and a TD. So that's averaging 15.3 yards per carry. You know, is it going to be Gus Edwards? Is it going to be Keaton Mitchell? Is it going to be, I think there's a third running back that gets some of that running back backfield share as well. Would you buy or sell Keaton Mitchell? Can you even keep up with this backfield at this point?
Well, assuming that you're in a 36-person league and Keaton Mitchell's on a roster already, yeah, I'd go out and I'd sell him. If he's on your roster, somebody's going to think that this is like the changing of the tide. I don't even know what the phrase is because I'm dumb. It's going to be kind of, it's going to be his backfield. Well, it's the Baltimore Ravens. So it's whoever's backfield it is until their Achilles goes or their ACL gives out. So it is Lamar Jackson is RB1 in that system. And then it is a combination of Gus Edwards and whoever else is back there picking up scraps. This week, it just so happened to be Keaton Mitchell. My guess is that he was trying to live up to that last name. And then, he's going to be a big ad in a lot of leagues. And if he gets into the starting lineup, I'm guessing he'll be a big drop in the following week.
Sure. And yeah, I think, obviously buy sells with, these unknown waiver wire players. It's like, okay, if you have them in Dynasty, if you have them in deep leagues, the same with Joshua Dobbs and Superflex, would you, pick up or buy and start Joshua Dobbs? It's just, there's different perspectives, Josh. You don't have to be so dismissive of these, fringe waiver wire guys. But just to be clear, you're saying sell? Did I hear that correctly? Keaton Mitchell?
Yeah.
Why? Why my instance?
It's fried fat.
There we go. We'll move on, Josh, to a player you have always loved and a player you have come to love. Jesus Christ. We're talking about the battle of Kareem Hunt and Jerome Ford. You have to buy one and you have to sell the other. I can give you some background information here because I'm not sure if you're super familiar with what just happened in week 9 and prior. But this most recent week, Kareem Hunt for the Cleveland Browns, he only had a 29% snap share. But with that, he had 14 attempts for only 38 yards, so not a very efficient day running the ball, only 2.71 yards per carry. However, he did get in the end zone for the fourth consecutive week. He might not be the most efficient with his yardage, but he is getting touchdowns. He has 4 touchdowns on the year, and he wasn't even on the team, or he wasn't even on a team until week 3. And then 4 weeks in a row, he's had at least one touchdown. Whereas Jerome Ford, he has had 64% snap percentage, 20 attempts, but again, for only 44 yards, even more inefficient with his touches, only 2.2 yards per carry. He did have a bunch of receiving work in this week against Arizona, 7 targets for 5 receptions and 33 more yards, but he only put up 10.2 fantasy points to Kareem's Hunt, 9.8 in half point PPR. So they're basically a dead heat looking at last week in fantasy production. In terms of scoring, Josh, who would you rather have on your team? Who would you rather be starting? Who would you rather be buying or selling, Kareem Hunt or Jerome Ford?
Well, in Dynasty, it's going to be Jerome Ford just simply because of the age. I do think that it is one of those like game plan or the game script, depending on how that goes. I can't pull up the... Who won that game? Was it Arizona or...
Cleveland beat them, I think, 27-0.
Okay, so, as far as just the overall, that's right, production, it is, it's a little concerning when he's only getting 2.2 yards per carry, but Kareem Hunt only had the 2.4, but his usage was there. They were up big. I think they were up big early, too, as a result of the defense, and so I think that it was going to be, at this point, Jerome Ford is going to be the guy that I'd want. Mainly because I have him.
So in both perspectives, you're saying Jerome Ford would be the guy you roster? All right, for Redraft Dynasty. And then so sell Kareem Hunt. I'm not doing the Sounders because the soundboard stinks tonight. But all right, so you heard it here first, folks. Jerome Ford is the buy and Kareem Hunt is the sell. And we'll take more of a fantasy perspective here, Josh, to round out, much more of a Dynasty perspective here to round out the hog market this week. Obviously, trade deadlines are coming up, as I alluded to earlier. If you're in a dynasty league specifically, this is a big time to make your move. If you're in a redraft league, there's much less incentive to make some moves, but you can try, especially if you're a team that's on the bubble and you want to add one more weapon or one more key piece. Is there any people that really would come to your mind when you want to buy or sell? So I'm not presenting you a player. I'm presenting you who... just thinking about maybe your dynasty teams, thinking about the position you're in or some positions others are in, like Walters being the absolute bottom of the barrel in the Deflate These Balls League. Who would you try and buy or who would you try and sell to either make your final playoff push this year or to kind of punt on the year and be like, this isn't my year. We're looking forward to 2024. Is there any buys or sells that come to your mind from a dynasty perspective as trade deadlines loom?
Well, from a dynasty perspective, I think that if you are struggling at quarterback, there's an option in Sam Howell out there. He's currently QB6 on the season. And so he is somebody that might be cheap to pick up or maybe even a waiver wire, depending on the league. So he is somebody that to keep in mind. Other guys that, you know, you might want to trade for if you're a contender and the person who owns them is Walters, bottom of the barrel, Raheem Mostert. He is currently RB2 on the season for standard, averaging 16.8. And so you wouldn't have to give up a whole lot in a dynasty because he's 31 years old. And so age is something to take into consideration. And then somebody who's likely rostered, but may or may not be somebody that people are comfortable starting with, Dalton Kincaid. Dalton Kincaid has seen an uptick in his usage. He has had more than 50% snap share every week this season, aside from the one game that he missed against the Giants. But he, in the past 2 weeks, has had 84 and 90%. And going back 3 weeks, he's had 8 targets, 7 targets, and 11 targets. So he is seeing the ball come his way quite a bit. And so he has a fairly juicy matchup next week against Denver. A good offer, Al. Jeez. Al asked, ladies and gentlemen, he asked what incentivizes people to sell Dalton Kincaid. And that is a great question, because maybe you're somebody who's sitting here with like a Dallas Goedert, a TJ Dropinson, or Dalton Kincaid. And so you have a bunch of tight ends. Somebody sends you an offer for 2 firsts. Okay, that's great. I'll take it. Bye. And so then, you know, if they have an abundance of tight ends, you know, like every guy dreams of. And so it's a situational decision, Al. But yeah, I pulled him off my taxi squad. So he's in that starting lineup this week. So whoever I'm playing and deflate these balls, good luck.
Interesting. Okay. So those were some buys, Josh. Is there anyone that comes to your mind that, let's say your team's maybe 4-4, or maybe you're, you know, where is it, like, not 4-4, you'd be 4-5 at this point, but you have a losing record, you kind of know this year's not your year, and you're trying to sell off some pieces that, you know, you can't sell something that has almost no value, right? You have to sell something that has some value, like a Michael Thomas, a Brian Robinson, some of those more mid-tier players. Is there anyone that you would recommend teams who are kind of punting on the year and looking to next year to sell? Because I think to Al's point in the chat, he's saying, all right, if my team's going to stink this year, but I'm looking to next year, Dalton Kincaid is a rookie, and he's should only be better, or he should be a staple of my team going forward. So, you know, why would I sell him if I could just have him on my roster next year? Is there any of those players you think might not be worth having next year, or might not be worth having for the, you know, within 2 to 3 years from now, like Michael Thomas or Brian Robinson? Any of those players you could think to sell in the dynasty sell window here?
Well, I did mention Raheem Mostert is one of those guys, as if you're one of those teams that are currently stinking, go ahead and see if you can field a good offer for him. Brian Robinson, I think, is, you know, he's fallen back to earth, but he's still RB8 at this point. So if you're in a dynasty, he's 24, so he's still relatively young, doesn't have a whole lot of tread on. I mean, he's got gunshot holes, but those what do we know about gunshot holes? It may actually help with longevity in the NFL. Some other people to sell. Sorry, I'm trying to find players to look at, but
I mean, what about I'll just give you a couple names, we'll rapid fire and we'll roll up the pod. What about Cooper Kupp? Do you think Cooper Kupp has like 2 more years in the tank, or would you sell him?
I mean, if you get a good offer, I'd sell him. That's good offer for Cooper Kupp at this point.
What if it was a medium offer? I mean, anyone's going to sell for, or most people will sell for a good offer. What if it's like a fair market value? Like, what's Cooper Kupp worth? An early second at this point? He's pretty old. A late first?
So let's... you can go ahead and vamp for a second here while I figure that out.
I mean, it's just some of these players. It's like, oh, Cooper Kupp's old, so that seems like a much more, you know, of a sell candidate. But what about someone like DK Metcalf, who was just not the receiver everyone thought he would be? You know, he's one of those mid-tier players. It's like, is he worth being a staple of my team, or would I rather get a draft pick for a player like that, you know? I'm literally looking at my own dynasty team in BSB when I look at DK Metcalf. I'm like, okay, should I keep him at this point or no?
So in a 1QB 0.5 PPR, Cooper Kupp's value is approximately at around what Austin Eckler, T. Higgins, a 2024 mid-first, and Tony Pollard. That's just kind of what they're at based on age and just overall kind of left in the tank. I just had a stroke. Cooper Kupp is only 30 years old. So it's not like he's, you know, I mean, he's old when it comes to like NFL standards. But when it is like compared to a running back, Austin Eckler is almost 29. So 30 is kind of when that drop off happens for running backs. Plus, he's had some contract disputes in the past. Cooper Kupp, he said that injury concern, so I could see somebody not necessarily wanting to trade Austin Eckler for him. But yeah, so that's just something like if you get an off fair market value around there, yeah, I'd take it. Granted, you know, you'd probably want that first because all of these other guys are going to be not necessarily worth it in the long run if you're trying to rebuild.
All right, last example, then we'll get out of here, Josh. What about my DK Metcalf example? Right now, you know, his season hasn't been too hot. He's wide receiver 43. They have had their bye week, so those rankings can be a little disruptive because, you know, he missed a week. But he also missed a week due to health concerns, so he's down 1 week. His best fantasy performance in the year in half-point PPR is 14.2. His worst performance was just this last week in week 9, 5.5 fantasy points. What would you do with a player like DK Metcalf? Is that someone you hold looking to next year or the, you know, 2-3 years from now? Or do you sell DK Metcalf because he's just not who he used to be and you'd rather have a different player?
I mean, I would at 26, 25, almost 26, I'd hold him. He's not going to, you know, he's still young as far as that goes. He still has an opportunity. We just saw Martavis Bryant come back and sign with the team. So, you know, he's... I would think that DK Metcalf, if he has a down year this year, it happens. But you know, he's still young. He's on a high powered offense. Who knows kind of how that offense shakes up in the next couple of years with Geno Smith and other sort of contract situations. But if you are going to trade him, you know, I could see that being enticing for somebody who is looking for a wide receiver, who has somebody or who has extra picks looking to give up, you know, a first or something for him.
All right. Well, appreciate your analysis, Josh. And we will go ahead and we will wrap up the hog market for the week. We're already... Jesus Christ. Hog market is officially closed, everyone. We have wrapped it up for the week. We appreciate everyone so much for listening. Walters, I will go ahead and continue to mention you on the pod as one of our most engaged listeners. Al, you're going to have to get used to it. We can mention you just as much as Walters if you'd like, but you would have to, you know, contribute yourself a little bit more. You could have given us a buy sell. You can give us some start sits on Saturday.
Hey, he did. He asked about what would incentivize somebody to sell Kincaid.
That's true. I'm just saying that's how Al can get his name into the show. You know, so if he thinks we're talking about Walters too much, is it just him saying, I actually want you to talk about Al more or a proportional amount, you know? So I'm just trying to stoke the flames here, trying to drive some interaction. But Josh, that is the show. We have gone about 10 minutes over, but we did look at the 272 recap, or the halfway through the season recap. So I think it was worth taking some precious minutes on that. We appreciate everyone so much for listening. We thank you so much for continuing to interact in our Discord. And yeah, what do you think, Josh? Vikings making the playoffs at this point or not?
And then a first round exit, probably.
Hell yeah, brother. All right, Josh. Say goodbye.
Cool, Packers.